Happy Bitcoin Wednesday, freaks. It's your host, Odell, here for another Citadel Dispatch, the interactive live show focused on Bitcoin and freedom tech. I have good friend and return guest here today, Milan of Primal, the Noster client. How's it going, Milan?
Going amazing. How's it going, freaks?
It's a pleasure to have you, brother.
Great to be back.
So first of all, to the freaks that continue to join us in our Noster live stream, that's citadeldispatch.com/stream. When you go to that link before the show starts, it shows you the last episode and the chat from the last episode. So don't be alarmed when you see video has ended. That is why it says that. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about Noster adoption. The Bitcoin price is absolutely going bulltard, but we're not here to talk about the Bitcoin price. We're here to talk about Noster adoption and how that is going, how that path is going. Milan, when did I last have you here?
Oh, it's been a few months. It was that event we had in Asheville. It wasn't Nosterville. What was the name of it? I forgot now.
Were you at Global Bitcoin Summit or with the HRF? People, we do so many. Were you at the Lightning Summit?
Yes.
Was it the Lightning Summit?
That's it.
I'm not Stefan Lavera, so I don't like remember episodes numbers. If that was the case, that was July. Is that possible?
The last few months are a blur for me, I must say. Like now that we've kind of shipped our 1.0 of the iOS app, I'm like exhausted but happy. And don't ask me about any details about
July 13th, 2023. I guess I should have looked that up before the show.
So quite a few months. It seems almost like a lifetime ago.
It was basically a decade ago in Noster terms. So, how are you looking at, I mean, right now I use Noster on a daily basis. I use Primal on a daily basis. I think the progress has been absolutely phenomenal. How are you looking at it?
Thank you. Yeah, I think the progress across the board, when you look at all of the Noster clients, when you look at where everybody was, let's say 6 months ago, seems like 5-6 months ago is when we talked last on air. And then, you know, if you go back a few months even prior to that, the rate of progress is just astounding, both in terms of the number of projects that are sprouting on Noster, as well as the quality of the work being done by everybody, right? Like when I discovered Noster, by the way, a little bit less than a year ago. I think it was mid-December 22. And I remember thinking when I discovered it, like, wow, this is great. This is going to work. But how good can we make it? Because like all the clients that were available back then were quite kind of rudimentary, early days types of clients. And you could see like they were very rough around the edges. So fast forward 6 months, everything's much better. There are way more clients. And fast forward almost 12 months, I think we're getting close to sort of prime time, I think, with many of the leading clients in terms of features and kind of the level of polish and performance. I don't think we're quite there, honestly. But let's talk about Primal specifically, like the iOS 1.0. We're proud with what we've shipped. But there's still room for improvement, and we're kind of looking at those incremental improvements from here. I think we're, as a whole space, we're probably a few months away from kind of the level of polish that people are used to in the legacy kind of centralized apps.
Yeah, so I mean, first of all, I mean, you started with your own personal journey, which you said was a year ago. So that was like December 2022. I mean, I had Fiat Jaff, JB55, and Kooks on April 2022. And Noster was like nothing at that point.
Yeah.
That was a year and a half ago, right? That was 2020. Yeah, it was a year and a half ago. Noster was absolutely nothing. And I think it's important for people to like, just like temper your expectations a little bit. Like it's, I think it's important that we don't take the foot off the pedal and we're very aggressive here in terms of adoption. But the amount of progress that has been made in the last 16 months, the amount of progress that's been made in the last 8 months is fucking astounding. And it's mostly happened in this just like organic viral nature. It hasn't been like just this single centralized entity trying to like make fetch happen.
Totally. Like just look at the trajectory of progress of the number of apps, number of all kinds of different, you know, projects being built on it, as well as the quality. And I think I tuned into that episode with Fia Jeff. Who else was there? Fia Jeff and a couple of other
guys. Was Will. It was JB55, okay. Fia Jeff, and Mr. Kooks.
So I tuned into that one, and it didn't work for me. I was like, I missed it, you know.
The research I did to prepare for that episode was use Brandly, which was Fiat right. Jaff's, I love you, Fiat Jaff, horrible client. It was like so early.
It was the best client ever until that
Dom
moment.
I don't think Dom has existed yet. I have to go back and listen to the episode, but I think Will was like working on it and it was more of an idea than an actual project yet.
Yeah. We all use Brandly and derivatives of it.
Yeah.
And, like I don't think we actually used any of the code from that client in our web client where it started from scratch. We decided to use SolidJS and kind of just start from scratch. But we all used Brandly and derivatives. And yeah, I mean, it was impressive that it worked at all, actually. And you, with the right kind of eye, you could see, you know, where things were going. But for me, unfortunately, it didn't quite click for me back, let's say, mid last year. I think there was a Marty podcast and there was your podcast where you guys covered Noster. I completely missed it, even though I tuned into those episodes. I thought, oh, this is bullshit. This is not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I think shortly after that dispatch, Marty had Will on, if I recall correctly.
Okay, so one or the other, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was only after Dorsey started making a bit of noise about it that I decided to take a closer look, and then I just read through the spec.
Carlos, in the live chat, I'm not sure if Zaps are working. You should do more tests. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, do tests and do tests with all kinds of amounts. Probably very high amounts are working well. Only one way to find that.
So it was Dorsey's. It was Dorsey's. Not really a grant, but Dorsey's funding of Fiat Jaff originally that caught your attention.
No, it was a little bit before then. It was when Dorsey started posting on when he started participating and starting posting about it on Twitter. So I'm a part of that cohort of people where, yeah, like I just, that was kind of the last nudge for me to actually take a closer look and read through the spec. And I was literally halfway through reading through NIP 1 that it hit me like, okay, this is totally going to work.
Yeah. And I mean,
the next question in my head is, I wonder how good this can get. I wonder how good kind of the apps and services built on top of this protocol can actually get in terms of UX. I had doubts and questions in my mind, but there was an itch that I needed to scratch. So I was like, okay, I think I'm going to, I was chatting with MVK back then, and within the span of 1 week, I was like, okay, I'm going to fall in. I'm actually going to put the team together. I'm going to find out myself how good the UX can get for Noster. And I'm still in the process of finding out.
Yeah, I mean, like Jack, I just call him Dorsey because of Jack Maulers. Dorsey, I try and just call them Maulers and Dorsey. Dorsey deserves a lot of credit for his early funding of the Noster ecosystem. No strings attached, by the way, which is key, right? Because, you know, for better or for worse, Jack has a lot of baggage from his post-Twitter days. And he deserves a lot of credit for it. That original funding that he provided to Fiat Jaff was like, I'm pretty sure he just sent Bitcoin from a mobile wallet, like nonchalantly. He was like, fuck it, let's do it, and just sent it. I think he like asked Fiat Jaff, like, will you set up like an organization or whatnot? And Fiat Jaff's like, I'm not doing any paperwork. And he just sent him a Bitcoin transaction, which is baller. And then obviously he supported OpenSats with a massive donation for both for Bitcoin projects and for Nostr projects, including $5 million that was just allocated purely for Nostr projects, no strings attached. Deserves a lot of credit for that. What he doesn't get enough credit for, in my opinion, is that he went Nostr only for like 3 months before most people were even using Nostr. And I personally have this theory that the single best way to promote Nostr is to post exclusively there. Like if you actually believe in the mission, and if you actually have content that people want to consume, then you should leverage that and you should post exclusively to Nostr, and people will come seek out that content. It's an extremely strong incentive to come. And it's part of the reason that I ended up choosing to just cut ties with Twitter, even though it was the only social media I've used for a decade. And I have a massive audience that I built up there. One of the reasons I took the jump and actually cut off Twitter was because he did that. And like, how could I say I have a massive audience on Twitter and then watch Jack stop using Twitter? Like, his audience is way larger than mine. So yeah, I just don't think he gets enough credit for that. And we're starting to see more and more people do that. I think the incentives align for people to do that just from ownership point of view and a sovereignty point of view. Like, you want to use, if you're producing content and you're building an audience, like, you want to control that, right? You want to have ownership over that. You don't want to be a product on someone else's social media platform. And like most social media in general, I mean, Nostr's a lot different than traditional social media because it's this interoperable permissionless protocol at the base. But usually first movers have a significant advantage. So the content creators that are moving to Nostr now stand to benefit much more than people that might join later.
I agree overall. I agree that our success in growing Nostr revolves around the ability to onboard content creators and provide the space for them and all the tools necessary for them to be successful. And I think Zaps and the whole kind of monetization side of Nostr, I think it's paramount for it to work flawlessly and to be widespread in its usage. Which is why we took, some of the approaches that we're taking with the iOS client and the upcoming Android client. Well, we really wanted to enable as many people as possible to hold sats and send small amount of value to content creators.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so before we get to Primal 1.0, search Primal in your app store. Before we get to Primal 1.0, I want to ask you a question. So there's been some controversy on Nostr or among Nostr users that there's too much Bitcoin conversation. I've used Twitter for a decade. I've only talked about Bitcoin. I plan to use Nostr for the next decade. I'm only going to talk about Bitcoin. And Nostr. I'll talk about Nostr on Nostr as well. I talk about it all the time. Is that a problem?
Bitcoin, it's also Nostr talk.
Yeah, it's like it's 90% Nostr. Well, at least what I see is 90% Nostr talk and Bitcoin talk.
Yeah. So our question is whether
is
that's
that
a problem?
Yeah, how do you feel on that?
I think it's natural that a network like this is being seeded by Bitcoiners. That's to be expected because of our values and our understanding of the problem and our understanding of the potential solutions for this. So it's natural that the initial cohort of users are going to be very kind of Bitcoin heavy. Having said that, I think we should be mindful of that and try to grow the network deliberately to the extent possible, right, to expand to other groups. I think it's fine at this early stage that we have the user base that we do. It's excellent. I mean, there aren't too many of us in absolute terms, but everyone's really psyched and excited and quite an evangelist for the network. But going forward, like if let's say 2 years out, it's still mostly Bitcoiners talking about Bitcoin-y things, then that would be problematic, I think, for the growth of the network. Pablo reminded me the other day, you know, like we were chatting about this, and I was making a point that, you know, maybe it's completely fine to grow the network by, through Bitcoiners, because in the next bull run, you know, it's likely that the Bitcoiner user base is going to go up by maybe like an order of magnitude. Therefore, bringing a lot more people potentially to Nostr as well. And Pablo kind of cautioned me against that, kind of being our only strategy. That can't be our only strategy, I think. He reminded me of what happened on Mastodon and how, you know...
Yeah, but Mastodon was shit.
Yes, but there are some lessons to be learned there, right?
It didn't solve the key problem.
Oh, yeah. Like, Mastodon had never had a chance to actually solve this. But there was an attempt that a lot of people signed up for. So
what yeah, I did too.
Yeah, same. Right. So we were in Bitcoin Hackers.
I actually dismissed Nostr early on because of my Mastodon experience.
Of how badly things went with Mastodon. Yeah.
I was like, I bought the bullshit on Mastodon. Like, Nostr's not going anywhere.
No, there was like, we tried multiple times to kind of get things going on bitcoinhackers.org, and it would stick for a little while, and then people would leave, go back to Twitter. So we've vastly surpassed any of that type of those levels of adoption already on Nostr. So that's great. But what Pablo was saying is, remember how the administrators of all other Mastodon instances blocked the Bitcoiner instance because they thought we were insufferable. They didn't want to kind of relate to us too much. And so there's some danger that Nostr becomes known as the Bitcoiner hangout and that's it.
Nah.
Which we need to be mindful of.
You're humbly wrong. let me unpack it from my perspective. I'm a little bit biased because I only talk about Bitcoin and Nostr, and all my friends only talk about Bitcoin, and some talk about Nostr. We're in a unique situation, right? No situation is the same. You know, there's variables. There's all different variables, but where we are currently in today's Nostr adoption cycle. And where we are currently in Bitcoin's adoption cycle, and specifically, where are we in Bitcoin's bull cycles? This is where you start to see the engagement on Twitter in Bitcoin circles go through the roof, right? Like, people disappear for 3 years, they come back. Now, my appeal to Bitcoiners to use Nostr, if a Bitcoiner is listening to this right now and hasn't flip the switch and actually use Nostr, my appeal to them is we're going to have more fun on Nostr than you're going to have fun on Twitter in during this cycle. We're going to have way more fun. Our memes are unruggable. We're able to meme without limits. And we will have the best alpha, like the best content. Like, if you want good content, if you want high signal quality content, it will be on Nostr for Bitcoin. And I think it can be very, very appealing for Bitcoiners. And then that is a separate, I think that is a separate question versus, that is a separate question versus mainstream users. I think these are two different categories. One of the beauties of Nostr is that users have full control. It's a key tenet of Nostr, right? And they should be able to build their own experience. If they don't want to see me post in all caps about Bitcoin, they shouldn't have to see that. They should be able to choose what they want to see. And most people building on Nostr have built with this principle in mind, which is key, right? It's not an algo pushing it in front of your feed. With Bitcoin hackers, Mastodon has so many issues. Like, don't take too many lessons from that.
It's hopeless. It's hopeless.
As you said, we were cut off to begin with. And then the last piece I would say to Bitcoiners is we have a freedom version. At the very minimum, we have a freedom version of Twitter that has Bitcoin integrated. Nostr is so much more than that. But at the very minimum, Nostr is what most people thought they signed up for with Twitter. And there's something to be said about, you have shitcoin projects, you have all these different projects. They try and increase user growth by providing financial incentives to new users to sign up. Nostr doesn't have a centralized management that can do that. But what Nostr could have is 100,000 ride or die Bitcoiners that zap everything they fucking love and zap it to kingdom come. You know, there's a dozen of us on Nostr right now that are literally just zapping people generational wealth for wishing us good morning. And so you need the Bitcoiners come first. The Bitcoiners get obsessed with it. They build on top of it. They support the ecosystem. And then as these new users come in, as these pre-coiners come in, as these no-coiners come in, their first touch point with Bitcoin is one of these Bitcoiners sending them Bitcoin.
That works, I think. I'm with you in your assessment that this becoming the social network for Bitcoiners, that part of the kind of user base is inevitable, right? This is going to happen for a number of reasons. For the reasons you mentioned, another reason I think is the wallets. When we started working on our wallet and kind of started doing the research around it, we realized how much of a killer feature the Nostr social graph is. The whole social graph is basically your address book all of a sudden. So, like it or not, I think Bitcoiners are going to be exposed to Nostr through just wallet software they use, and then it's only a matter of time before they engage with the rest of us on the network as well, like socially. So that's pretty much a slam dunk. I think that will happen, and it's going to be exciting to watch that happen over the next year. Also, as the bull begins to run, and
the bull has already begun its run.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't notice. I haven't been watching the price.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you haven't. Yeah,
nobody has.
I'm in it for the tech.
Exactly. So then this grows the Bitcoin user base itself. So those things will happen. Like, I have no doubt. And I like, but beyond that, we need a bit of a strategy, a bit of an approach. Honestly, we probably need to do a bit of work to onboard probably Bitcoin adjacent communities,
the freedom communities.
Freedom communities that they will be most receptive to the value proposition of Nostr. And I love your idea that, like, the best way we use our sats on Nostr is to just welcome new people, especially content creators, and show them how good it can be.
It's the Joker meme. It's not about the money. It's about sending a message.
Yes.
I love sending zaps. It is fucking awesome.
It's magical. I think that we all kind of universally agree that the act of sending some sats through a zap is just, like, feels so good. And I think almost everyone agrees. I think NVK for a while was the only holdout personally. And
he sent out a Nostr post saying Gigi and Odell were right.
I saw that. Yeah.
Which, if anyone knows NVK for any kind of period of time, like, that is incredibly rare. And you can't delete Nostr posts. We have a cryptographically signed message that NVK told me I was right.
Yeah.
which honestly, I could probably just retire on that.
Yeah, you can have dinner on that forever. Mm-hmm. So two extremely rare things happened there. Number one, NVK was wrong. That almost never happens. hope he's not listening. Don't want to encourage him. And number two, he admitted it.
Yeah, I mean, the second part is incredibly rare. Okay, so let's talk about Primal 1.0 because it's massive. It's a massive update. Why is it a massive update before I tell people why it is? In your word, like why is this a big deal? It's got the 1.0 number on it. It's supposed to be a big deal. Why is it a big deal?
Yes. So first of all, to be specific, we're talking about our iOS release. Our Android release is still a few weeks out. So we're still in kind of preview on Android. But our iOS 1.0 release kind of puts the entire vision together for the initial release of Primal, where we integrated a Lightning Wallet with a social media client in as seamless of a way as we could. And the result is more valuable than the sum of its parts, I think. I was very keen to see what happens when you integrate a decentralized social media client, one built on Noster, with a Lightning Wallet within the same app. And the outcome is that both the wallet and the social media client get better. And we've by no means exhausted the possibilities here. This is just the very first kind of iteration where all of these things kind of fit together, where number one, users can get seamlessly onboarded onto Noster and Bitcoin. And number two, their user experience for sending micropayments or zapping other users or their nodes is very seamless, as well as the ability to acquire sats, small amounts of sats, and we can get into the details there, is also as seamless as any iOS user has ever experienced. So what we've accomplished with this release is we've created a product that can be used to onboard anyone to Noster easily, and to onboard them in a custodial way, but regardless, also to Bitcoin and Lightning Network easily without any friction. So I think what we're going to get, if we're successful in terms of signing up a lot of users, we're going to get an army of new users who've never experienced Noster nor Bitcoin be able to participate in this ecosystem and help grow it.
Fuck yeah. So, I mean, the context of this is that you and Primal have been a bit of a pariah in the Noster developer community. A bit, really? Because, no, I mean, the Noster development community is an incredibly welcoming community for the overwhelming part, right? It's an incredibly welcoming community. People are very nice. People want to see Noster grow. Everyone knows it's early. But at the same time, I think there has been some questions in terms of Primal strategy around some of the choices that you guys have made in terms of trade-offs, right? And that started at the very core from like the base of how Primal was designed with this caching server in mind, where you have a caching server that is fully false. If people listen to our last episode with Milan, it was with it was right when everything got false. So the full Primal stack is completely open source. Anyone can fork it. Anyone can modify it, distribute it, do whatever the hell they want with it, including the caching server. They can run their own caching server. But this idea of a caching server in the first place is by some people is seen as against the Noster core principles of connecting directly to relays without a centralized server in between. But I will speak for you. Primal made that decision because ultimately all Noster users have the choice of which clients they want to use and which tools they want to use. They have many different options. They're going to be able to move between different tools at will whenever they want to do. And it doesn't make sense for every client to serve the same purpose. And to me, Primal has always been this client that sits there ready for the mainstream. right? And that is built for the mainstream, built for the person that's addicted to Twitter and TikTok, and maybe isn't even here for freedom or censorship resistance, or they don't realize they're here for that, even though most people do care about freedom, even if they don't realize it. And they just want a more performant social media. They want, you know, I think you said last time we spoke, you definitely talked about it to me privately. Like, Primal has failed if it's not faster than Twitter. It's not even, you know, your notes can't get rugged. It should load quicker. Everything should be quicker and faster and better. And then also you get freedom on top. And the decision here in terms of packaging a custodial wallet, that's, I guess we'll talk about the specifics, but like packaging a custodial wallet that is powered by Strike, that has light KYC, that a user can go from no Bitcoin to Bitcoin in a functioning Lightning wallet with a Lightning address in less than 5 minutes and be onboarded to Noster, is part of this long-term vision, right? This vision that, you know, maybe some people will come in and they'll start using Primal first and then they'll move on to other clients. Obviously, people will still stay with Primal, but Primal being this, the ideal way to onboard someone. Like me personally, I think we're very close to the point where I don't have to explain what Noster is or explain all these different nuances. I just say, go download Primal, and then on either app store, whichever app store you use, because everyone's on mobile for the most part, even though I love using Primal on desktop, and go download that. And then when they've used Noster for 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, if they want to play around with all these other tools or all these other clients, then they can go play around with that. And they don't need permission to do that.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, I kind of just went for it.
Let's dive in. I think that's a good overall kind of overview. So to back up, as I said previously, at Primal, we optimize for UX. So we make trade-offs to make the user experience as good as it could possibly be. At Primal, we build apps and we run services for Noster. This is unique currently in the whole space. Usually you see either projects, you know, they either build apps and then connect directly to relays, or they build services like indexing services and so forth, media hosting services, etc. We decided, because we want to optimize for UX and we want to make UX as good as it can possibly be, we decided to do both. So we build client applications, iOS, Android, web, and we run services. We run an indexing service, caching service, media service, classification service. Now, running services introduces centralizing factors into the network. That's a given. That's definitely true. And we're very mindful about our role in the ecosystem and about how our actions might have some effects on the network. One way to look at it is to maybe use the indexing service as an example. You can say indexing service is a good example because it provides search, right? And search is a universally useful feature. Everyone agrees that it's useful. So if you're an Noster client developer, when it comes to search, you have three options, like global search of the Noster network. You can, number one, not support search, because it introduces centralizing factors to the network. Number two, you can build your own indexing service, stand up and run it for your client. Or number three, you can use someone else's indexing service. Those are your options. And we have clients, Noster clients, in each of these three categories. I would argue that the third category is the most dangerous one. If we have a lot of clients that use a third-party indexing service, especially if it's an closed-source service, that, in my opinion, introduces the highest amount of risk, centralization risk to the network. So what we've decided to do is we've built our own indexing service And we open sourced it so that others can stand up their own instances of the same service, therefore decentralizing this this particular feature. And we're delighted to see that there are a number of examples of Noster projects who are standing up this indexing service, that standing up our caching service, and actually using it for their projects.
The caching service, the indexing service is one and the same. You're using two different words for the same thing.
They are the same piece of software currently. So when you kind of deploy both of these things at the same time, but they're functionally two different things. Indexing service is something that indexes the entire history, like it gives you like a full text search of all Noster nodes. Caching service is something different. It kind of it's there to make the most popular content, usually the latest content, extremely readily available. So the requests that are asking for the latest feed or the latest notes, they will execute extremely quickly. So it's more like an acceleration service. But you're right. In our software stack, these two are bundled at the moment. But logically, they're kind of different. So this is kind of the more nuanced take at what's actually going on here and the controversy around the caching service and so forth. Another aspect that I want to address is also the necessity to use the caching service or the indexing service by the primal clients. We're kind of on a path to get to the point where this is just one of the features that our clients support, but they also are able to work directly with the relays in terms of reading the content.
Oh, that's great.
From day one, our clients are connecting to your defined relay set for publishing. So our caching service has nothing to do with publishing. All primal clients from day one have been publishing directly to the relays as defined by the user. So that's kind of hopefully a more nuanced kind of take on why we did things the way we did. But we're like, as I said, we are prioritizing UX. We're deciding to build useful features for users, and our solve for the centralization risk is to open source everything under the MIT license.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, I mean, on that note, we have Tony Giorgio from UniWallet in the live Noster chat.
Hey, Tony.
And they're running the indexing service, caching service, their own version. They're running their own instance of it. So technically, you can connect, any primal user can go and connect to theirs. But that's what they use for the Noster integrations on Mutiny, right? That's what they use for your contact book and stuff like that.
Correct. That's what they're doing. And yes, their service is publicly accessible. I don't know to which extent they want to publicize it, but there are a few projects that are standing up caching services that primal users can connect to. And we're implementing this feature where you can connect to multiple caching services, just like...
Yeah, I like that idea. I think we talked about it the last conversation, like the idea of having fallover caching services or the caching services keeping each other honest, or you even random, like your client automatically checking your relays every once in a while to just make sure that the caching service isn't lying to you.
All of that's in the works. And I think there's a whole other kind of subject area of scaling that we don't really talk about enough, I think, when it comes to Noster scaling. Currently, with the user numbers we have, we're okay with the current network topology. But the fact is that the top dozen relays are handling all the traffic. And if we were to get a massive influx of new users, if we were to get millions of new users, that will be problematic. And I've no doubt that the network will kind of figure it out organically, right? Whatever, when there's pain, we'll figure it out.
The path of most pain.
Yeah, exactly. So there isn't anything fundamentally wrong there. But this is some. I think that these kind of caching nodes can play a really important role in scaling this to kind of global scale. And then there's like the long tail content. So let's say you're somebody who is rejected by most big relays. You know, they don't want to publish your content. And you only have the resources to run a small low powered relay. Using the caching approach, you can, you know, as long as your relay is visible to the caching service, it will.
Yeah, but you're just moving the scaling concern to the caching service instead.
Yes. So this is kind of a long tail content and stuff like that.
But
so,
like, for instance, like JB55 woke up one morning and instead of going to therapy, he just nuked his whole relay. The caching service kept copy of all those notes.
Yeah, of course. We have copies of all of those notes. We have the full history since we started collecting that. So I think we started collecting in February, and at that point, the relays were serving content from previous few months. So we have the archive of all of those notes. But I didn't follow the details of what happened with JB's nuking. I don't think anything kind of catastrophic happened there, because other relays also had copies of those notes.
Everyone just rebroadcasts and keeps copies on.
Yeah.
So I actually think there is a... I don't have proof of it. It's mostly just in my head. But I think... And I don't think there's any way to objectively prove it. But I think that anyone of real significance, anyone who has a significant voice on Noster, their notes are in effect will never be lost. They will never be deleted, because relays have a massive incentive to hold on to them and be one of the relays that holds on to them. And that goes in both directions. Even if, like, if you disagree with the person, if they have any kind of real weight or influence or something, you want to keep a record of it. I did this on Twitter for 3 years. I was tweet stamping every single Bitcoin denier so that we could prove later on when they deleted their tweets that they were wrong, because it's important to grandstand on people when they're wrong. And I think, like, the same kind of phenomenon happens on Noster. And then also, and this is a weird thing, like, once again, hard to objectively prove. If you're a smaller account and you're a new account and you're just trying to find your voice, it's unlikely you'll be censored by a large amount of relays. So it's like, when you get to the point where you might start getting censored by relays, there's a way stronger incentive for other relays to actually archive your notes. And there's no way for me to prove that without just living it. But I think that's what's going to happen.
I agree. The incentives do line up like that.
We had a great question from someone in the comments. I think it was the Daniel, asking about the custodial wallet and if there are limits. My understanding is there's a maximum limit of 1 million sats in the custodial wallet to encourage people to self-custody. Am I correct?
That's correct. So it was a difficult choice to kind of decide one way or the other whether we're going to go custodial or non-custodial for the built-in wallet. And we always go back to our guiding star, which is UX. So Primal optimizes for best possible UX, which and after careful analysis of the tech available, we decided to go take the custodial route. However, as Bitcoiners, we are not super keen on custodial solutions, and we think they need to be used carefully and kind of sparingly. So what we decided is to build a wallet which is used for kind of a transactional wallet that's ideal for holding and transacting with very small amounts, so that we get the top-notch UX for onboarding and kind of using the wallet reliably. But to minimize the amount of KYC information we need to collect by law, as well as to encourage people to self-custody any meaningful amounts, we have put the maximum wallet balance at 1 million sats.
So that's... And what the KYC is, email plus name plus MPUB?
It's email plus name currently.
Yeah. And you know the MPUB, obviously.
Of course, we know the MPUB, yes.
But that you said something interesting on Noster, that the actual, if you pay via Apple Pay, you don't get the payment information.
We don't.
It's disconnected.
So no iOS developer gets payment info of anyone, any one of their users.
Do you know if Android developers get payment info?
We're kind of in the middle of reviewing.
I was trying to look that up and I couldn't find us. I couldn't find the correct answer. Wanted to pay for something that I haven't paid for.
Honestly, I don't know the exact answer. So sorry about that, but I would doubt that they do. There's no good reason to provide that information to developers if you're Apple or Google.
And then the other thing here, like the quiet part out loud, because I doubt they're going to listen to like 46 minutes into Scylla Dispatch. The quiet part out loud is that Apple has taken a very aggressive stance against Zaps in Noster apps, and they did it to Domus, and JB55 had to remove Zaps from there. And this is a compelling middle ground in the meantime, where Apple is getting 30%. If you buy Sats through the wallet, Apple takes their usual 30% cut of in-app purchases, but you can also load the wallet outside of that.
Exactly. So the moment you activate the wallet, the receive function works. You can send yourself your own sats that you got elsewhere. You can receive zaps without any friction. But if you don't own any sats, and if you are not famous enough to receive zaps, but just by being and posting on Noster,
just respond good morning to me and you'll get some sats. You don't have to be famous.
People need to know, yeah. But for those who would like to join the fun without having any exposure to sats previously, they can use an in-app purchase to acquire some sats. Now, we're looking at 15% Apple tax in US and Canada, or 30% elsewhere. So these are not cheap sats. And this is
why it's only 15, and it's so sad that I'm like, it's only 15.
Oh, it's a good thing. Yeah, US and Canada, like, Apple sets the rules, basically. We just follow them there. But essentially, we also wanted to make sure that people don't spend too much money on these sats, which is why we're offering in-app purchases in $5 increments.
Oh, okay.
And we're maxing it out at $50 per day. So people can't accidentally, overpay for sats. In any kind of meaningful
you're amount. Giving them a nice little taste.
Exactly. We're giving you can get like order of magnitude 10,000 sats for $5. Well, probably
it's fucking great, and then you just zap to heart's content,
and then you can see what it feels like to zap people,
and more important, you can receive without going outside of the app. You don't have to deal with any of that
exactly
shit. Like the amount of people that wish me good morning and don't have a Lightning address set up, like they're leaving sats on the table.
Yeah.
Now they get sats.
Yes. So I think this whole product is our attempt to make Noster and Bitcoin appealing to people who are just looking at these things for the first time.
Yeah. Someone that their name hasn't, I guess Zapstream is having some issues. I know I was jokingly told Pseudo Carlos to zap again, but we have gotten some zaps. But someone who's just an NPub, and I don't know who it is, mentions like Duolingo sells a shitcoin that has no market value and that you can't even transfer really. And all these apps do, right? So it's just, it's just trade-offs all the way down. It's a nice, easy, low friction way for people to get on board to Noster and to Bitcoin, without really thinking too much about it.
Yeah, it's trade-offs all the way down. Absolutely. It's trade-offs everywhere here. As we as Bitcoiners, we know like everything is about trade-offs. But in this particular case on iOS, it's really the choice between not having zaps, not supporting zaps within the app, or providing a solution like we just did.
We have like an AI bot that's like running wild in the comments right now. I don't think I can block him. I think he has freedom to post here. I don't see a way for me to block him. So that's the power of Noster. An AI bot might enter your chat.
Is there no mute option on a
I think it's like basis? It's on an individual basis. You guys have to go practice personal responsibility and remove him, mute him on a personal basis. Yes.
It'd be interesting if you, as the administrator, could mute that particular one. But anyway, I don't know enough about how ZapStream works.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Kieran could add that feature. Okay, I just muted him. He's not a person. So I don't feel too bad. Okay, looks like it removed. I can mute on screen. Thank you, Carlos. Ride or die free, Carlos, to the rescue.
Let's go.
And the cyborg has been destroyed. Look at that. Censorship at its finest. I'm the captain now. I got distracted. I don't even know what we were talking about.
Oh, just zaps in the App Store.
This is all great. Zaps are awesome. So now people can just search Primal in the iPhone App Store. It's not Test Flight or anything, and they're just good to go.
Search for Primal. You get the first result there. And install the app and get onboarded.
This is fucking massive.
I think so. In a few weeks, we'll be there with Android as well. And kind of we'll tidy up our web app, kind of raise it another notch, I think. And then I'd be comfortable calling the whole stack 1.0. So I think by end of year, we should be there.
Okay. So I'm getting one of the things I love about Noster, by the way, is sometimes development happens live in the dispatch stream. Other times just knowledge transfer happens. So everyone else in their own version of zap.stream can still see the bot's replies. It's just not on the live stream anymore.
Okay, well, that's something.
That's good. I'm glad I didn't fully censor the AI and that he can still spam everybody else. Yeah, I'm just excited that I can just tell people to download Primal and I don't have to explain what Noster is. Like if you have to do that part, we've already lost the plot. Like we didn't have no shot. They don't need to know how it works. They can learn afterwards how it works. But you shouldn't have to do like a half an hour conversation on this. No. And same with Bitcoin, by the way, all these videos, all these tutorials, all this, they're for power users and they should be for power users. But if you need to give a 2-hour tutorial or 45 minutes of context on why something matters, you're just not going to get adoption.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I think for those users who are discovering Noster for the first time like that, zaps are the only meaningful difference from the rest of the social media out there.
Censorship, besides censorship resistance.
Censorship resistance is the kind of the core, the foundation of Noster that we get excited about. But in terms of the general population out there, I would say probably free-thinking content creators also get excited about that. So that's important. But in terms of the masses, in terms of the majority of the people out there, unfortunately, they don't care. But they will see something new, interesting, shiny, and actually truly novel when it comes to being able to send these zaps, these micropayments to other users and kind of reward content and the publishers, and also receive zaps instead of likes. I think that's massive for kind of global adoption.
So can I have a feature request for Primal while we're on air?
Sure.
When I press the zap button, can you just auto like the post too? You could save me half my clicks every good morning post because I have to press like and zap.
Okay.
But if I'm zapping, of course I like the post.
Right. Do likes matter in that case?
I think likes still matter.
Okay.
I mean, we show them, right?
We do show them. And like there was like a big debate within Primal in early days when we were considering to not even have the like button. I lost that debate. I wanted to remove the like button. Zaps only, exactly. And then I realized later, actually, I was wrong.
People are used to it, you know?
Excuse me?
People are used to it.
people are used to it, and it might come off too elitist if you can't, you know, just like something. Why do you have to have Satoshis and send them? So like, we'll shill lightly instead. We'll give them the option. As for your feature request, yeah, I think it makes sense to have that option.
You can put
I'm
in
always
settings.
Careful about adding more settings to the app. Because
just add more settings.
Excuse me?
I said just add more settings.
Because every setting kind of increases the kind of testing tree that you need to cover. But
yeah, I know. That's true.
Interesting idea. We'll mull it over.
Okay, well, while we're on feature requests, it'd be nice if you could just auto-convert all notes to all caps. Like, if I had that in settings, if I can just switch all notes to all caps. And then, like, the haters can also switch all notes to lowercase if they want. You can give a double setting there. And then you can test all the different variables every time you ship a new release on that, too.
You know, Matt, when Dorsey asks for features, he usually zaps me 100,000 sats.
Okay, I noted. I'll give you 100,001 sat. I'll top him. In all caps.
How magical is that, by the way? Like
what?
Well, the way this whole network is being built in the open.
It's so fucking awesome.
Yeah, there is this thread from quite a few months ago. We had launched the preview of our web app and the caching service. You know, but it was early days, and Dorsey had posted, okay, you know, no, I think it was MVK who posted, oh, you know, mobile experience is really suffering on Oster. And then Dorsey replied, caching, we need to kind of deploy more caching. And Rodolfo goes, okay, Milan, he tags me, when open sourcing caching service? And
I saw that live. I witnessed that live as it was happening.
Yeah. And I was like, well, soon we'll be ready. And they're like, no, that's not good enough. And then a couple of weeks later, we pulled it off. We got it to a state where actually it could be used by others, and we open sourced it. And then like Dorsey like zaps me 100,000 sats. Just look at that thread. That's how Noster is being developed. And compare that to all the blue skies of the world, which is just hopeless.
Yeah. I do think that I do think that people do dismiss, I mean, I'm going back to the previous topic. I do think people dismiss the importance of censorship resistance. And it's not the word censorship resistance isn't what people care about. But they do care about censorship resistance. They don't realize they care about censorship resistance. And I think similar to Bitcoin, in a world where PayPal never surveils you or censors you, and the dollar isn't debased, like Bitcoin isn't as useful to people. There's not as much demand for people. And in a world where Elon accomplishes everything he's telling people he's going to accomplish, and you're going to have a completely free speech centralized platform where he never censors people or deboosts you in the algo or does any kind of shady shit because he's a god among men and one of the only men in the world who can't be corrupted by power and people pressuring him, then Noster is less useful to people and it will be less adopted. But like that will not happen. And we are entering an election cycle in America. Obviously, my perspective is American focused. It's going to be Elon's first election cycle as supreme dictator of Twitter. And people will start to realize that you can get rugged on social media very easily. Just like people over time have realized PayPal, banks, whatever, trusted third parties, they will rug you. And a lot of times these companies don't want to rug you. They have no choice. They get pressured behind the scenes, or they have a choice. They can shut down the business. And it doesn't have to be, you know, like what is the thing that Elon said in the beginning? Like when he first acquired Twitter, like one of the first things he did was he added the view counts. And the reason he added the view counts, which by the way, feature request, you should add view counts. The reason he added the view counts is because the overwhelming majority of users are lurkers. They consume content. They do not post. Those people aren't going to get censored. But if they follow Alex Jones and Alex Jones gets deplatformed and Alex Jones moves to Noster, then they will move to Noster and they will be doing it for freedom, but they will have no fucking idea that they're doing it for freedom. They are just downloading the Primal app because he told them on the fucking show that they should buy his supplements and they should download the Primal app. And then he moves over, you know, and at the core there, the value prop is freedom. It is censorship resistance, but they don't even fucking realize it. And that's fine.
I agree. I mean, there is a difference between saying, I promise I won't censor you, and not being able to censor you. And that's a simple message that we can make, you know, a simple point that we can make to content creators and probably the majority of the users. But it will only resonate once they see actual problems out there with platforms, which are inevitable. That they will happen. Yeah. They're like,
I guess my point is like, I agree that we won't sell most people on the narrative of freedom. But when we're thinking about it internally, anyone who's building on Noster, when we're thinking about it internally, like that, I believe is the core to the adoption. Like, I think that is the core base of the adoption. Even if it's not the core base of the messaging.
Right. And it could be the core base of the messaging to content creators who are really the types of people.
But not to their audience.
Right.
There's like two pieces for the content creators. I guess there's three pieces. You can't get rugged. You can receive freedom money without any middlemen. And then the third, which is going to become highly relevant, which I think people are sleeping on, is that all of these centralized platforms are closing their walls because they don't want AI to train on it. And so that means, like, if you have one link that you want to share to your audience and you don't know if they have in a Twitter account and if they, maybe they haven't KYC'd yet for Twitter because we're 2 years down the line and you have to KYC to use Twitter, or they don't have a TikTok account or they don't have an Instagram account or they don't have a Reddit account or they don't have a Facebook account, they can't click the link and see what's going on in there. But if they don't have a Noster account, it doesn't matter. They can still click the primal.net link or the NJump link or whatever. And see that content. And I think those three aspects are highly, highly valuable to the content creator, influencer class, whatever, celebrity, niche celebrity, fake celebrity, micro celebrity, whatever terms we're using.
I agree. That's a stark difference between a Noster and all of these other closed platforms, what you just outlined. The ability to see content, to consume content without having to be logged in or onboarded.
It's funny because, like, I've been very outspoken about, I don't think people should just be blindly reposting things from Twitter to Noster or from TikTok to Noster or whatever. They should treat Noster as a first-class citizen. But my thesis actually comes down to that the reverse is true. Like, a lot of these influencers that use seven different social media platforms, their primary one will be Noster. And then they will just blindly repost to all this other shit. Like, Noster's the core.
Yeah. You can almost imagine some, like, a nice tool set for these content creators to actually...
Are you teasing something?
No, man. We have our hands full. Let's ship 1.0. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, the second half of 1.0, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, Android needs to go out and the web app needs a few more tweaks.
Awesome. Let me just... Dispatch is audience funded. We do not have ads or sponsors. We solely rely on donations from our audience. So thank you, freaks, for continuing to supporting the show. You can go to SyllaDispatch.com for all our links, SyllaDispatch.com/donate to climb the leaderboard, or you can donate through podcasting 2.0 apps such as Fountain and Breeze Wallet, and there's many others. The top four comments we have gotten, the top four boosts we have gotten in podcasting 2.0 from last episode, which was with CoinOS on circular economies, was Ride or Die Freak Eric99 with 50,000 sats saying stay humble, stack sats. We have at Cumrock. It's such good advice. Thank you for mentioning that. We have at Cumrocket with 42,069 sats saying when on air cork pop Odell, also dark mode everything. It is coming. The cork pops will be back. The caps are back. We're gonna run it back like last cycle, but we're gonna go even harder this cycle because this cycle is gonna be much, much fucking harder. And then we have at Bitcoin Bay with 21,012 sats saying awesome convo. More attention needs to be given to the local meetup. If we can effectively mobilize meetups across the world, a lot of change can happen quick. Shout out to the Bitcoiners in Tampa. And then we have at Bitcoin Rocks with 21,000 sats saying stay humble and spend your sats. Also great advice. So thank you, freaks, for supporting the show. Supporting through podcasting 2.0 is extra special because it helps us climb the podcasting 2.0 leaderboards with help with discovery and whatnot. But I know sats are scarce. So if you want to support the show, you can also just share it with your friends and family. We're on every platform, any podcasting app, just search Citadel Dispatch. And then obviously huge shout out to the freaks in our live chat, who not only participate and make the show incredibly unique because you guys are all kind of the host with me. But you also are able to zap directly through zap.stream by going to citadeldispatch.com/stream. So thank you, to the ride or die freaks who join us in the live chat all the time. So that was my audience supported mid-roll. Do you have anything else you'd like to chat about? I mean, I think this has been a great conversation. Milan, I want you to be a returning guest as we do, as Nostr takes over the world. We should just, as this bull market rips and Bitcoin goes fucking crazy and Nostr adoption goes fucking crazy, I just want to constantly do touch bases with you. Short, nice, sweet touch bases like this.
Let's do it.
Awesome. So do you have any final thoughts for the freaks before we wrap?
Yeah, mandibles.
Mandibles than Bitcoin standard. Let's fucking go. Great advice.
Actually, I just got into it recently. I'm kind of 3/4 through the book. That was a great, great recommendation. Excellent.
If you understand. Yeah, I mean, if you don't read the book, you're just going to live through it. So it's the choice is yours.
It's kind of scary, tragic, and hilarious at the same time. She did a really good job, I find.
Did you listen to the dispatch I did with her?
Yes, I did.
Oh, so you have a little bit of spoilers. You did the opposite of most people.
Yeah. Like, I forgot about the details, like, of the book, but back from that dispatch. But, yeah, it was all novel for me. I'm not going to spoil anything for anyone here. But she did a really good job. And it actually, it's scary, tragic, and hilarious is exactly how I remember hyperinflation in Serbia back in the 90s.
There you go. Yeah, you lived through it.
Yeah, I did, and it was wild, and she nailed so many details well. So anyway.
Well, I'm pretty sure she just – I didn't put her on the spot when she came. So we're talking about Lionel Shriver, who's the author of Mandibles, who came on Dispatch. And I didn't put her on the spot, but I'm pretty sure she basically just read When Money Dies and then made a fictional book set in New York on it, which When Money Dies is a very boring, long read. That everyone should consider reading about Germany hyperinflation, like real world events, like how it went down.
When Money Dies is excellent, and I didn't find it boring at all. Actually,
well, you lived through it too, so you
there were so many parallels. Like when money dies, when money stops working, the society disintegrates in a specific kind of way, in a very peculiar kind of way. And there are so many details that go off. And it's interesting to kind of see books like this that nail every one of these details to such level of accuracy.
Yeah, I mean, when I call it boring, I mean, because it's like, because it's so accurate, like it's just so brutal. It's just brutal and long.
It's mundane, like so.
But that's how hyperinflation is, right? It just grinds people down.
How do lives of ordinary Germans, ordinary Americans, whatever Serbians, get affected on a day to day basis, like through 1,000 little details? So yeah.
Someone's asking in the comments. It was episode 92 with Lionel, but I encourage people to listen to it after they read the book. Even though it sounds like maybe, because the main thing she got wrong is she wrote it in 2015. She thought Bitcoin failed. Bitcoin has like one sentence.
Yeah.
And she's like, remember what happened to Bitcoin? And then it's completely dismissed.
Yeah.
So if you're a non-Bitcoiner and you read the book, it's very depressing. But if you're a Bitcoiner and you read the book, you realize there's still hope because Bitcoin exists. So it the perspective of a non-Bitcoiner reading it versus a Bitcoiner reading it is a completely different perspective. And then when you listen to the conversation I had with her, I think it empowers the book even more. Like it changes the perception of the book even more, because she isn't dismissive of Bitcoin at this point. She just was at that point. And now the freaks donated her over a coin.
Amazing.
I think she's up like $20,000 on it. I think I recorded at like 18K, 19K, something like that.
She's probably feeling pretty bullish right now. Who's your favorite character in the book, Matt?
I mean, Willing is Willing. Who everyone wants to be, right?
For me, it's Lowell.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not going to give anything away, but he's like an economics professor, like a fiat economist.
Yeah.
Who just gets wrecked repeatedly over and over.
Yeah,
and
he's
over
like Schiff. Again. Or not Schiff. Schiff is he's like, who's the guy, the fax machine? Krugman. He's like
Krugman. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like so wrong about it and continues to kind of drive in the same way and continues getting punched in the face by reality over and over again. It's delicious. Like yeah, that alone is worth the book, I think.
Yeah, we would troll him on Twitter if it was real life. Biggest negative of Noster is that the no-coin or Bitcoin deniers aren't on Noster, so we can't troll them, but I'm willing to sacrifice that.
Imagine the time, Matt, a few years out when we actually onboard everyone, so we get that pleasure as well. We can dunk on those guys because they'll have to move.
They have to join Denot. They're going to have no choice but to join Noster and play by our rules. Yeah. And they can't delete any posts. They're not going to be able to block us. Like they're going to have to play by our rules.
I think that's a perfect closing statement right there.
Fuck yeah. Well, I appreciate you, Milan. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thanks, freaks. Thanks for joining us as well. And stay smart out there. Don't get too crazy. We will be back. Dispatch will be back on Monday. Monday? Yeah, Monday, same time. With John from FutureBit, who makes a miner that is designed for home use. So it should be a really interesting conversation, especially with mining censorship increasing. So come join us for that. SillDispatch.com/stream and stay humble, stack sats. Appreciate y'all. Peace.